Please welcome Tim Crowley.
Thank you. The Four Corners is where Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah collide. If you do a circle 200 miles out from where those four states touch, you would include Arches, Bryce, Canyonlands, and Grand Canyon National Parks, numerous state and tribal parks, and some incredible mountain ranges. It's a surreal land of twisted and colorful geology, a place where roadrunners are really chased by coyotes. And if you spend enough time there, it changes you. I usually went up there in April and May, before it got too hot and while water was at its most plentiful. But there were times between sources when I learned never to take water for granted. And I also learned how to look at the mountains and the mesas and the canyons and get a sense of places where water might be. And one of the easiest ways to find it would be to walk up likely looking canyons into the mountains and the mesas, and you'd stumble upon these hidden pools or a garden of hanging from a wall, a wonder of ferns and flowers and birds and insects, all dependent on a slow but steady trickle of water sheeting over the rock. And it is amazing how far the sound of water travels in the desert and how attuned your ears can get to it. So you learn to travel quietly so that you can hear the sound of a water drop or the cooing of a dove, because in the desert, a dove can lead you to water. But I don't remember hearing any doves the day I was walking up a narrowing ramp of rock somewhere in southeastern Utah. I was being baked from above and below, so I figured when I reached the top of that rocky ramp, I would hole up in some shade. But I hadn't gotten halfway up that incline before I started to notice the potholes. Some of them were the size of basketballs, and some of them were big enough to be in a skateboard park. And some of them had water. And it was such an unexpected gift, and it was such an abundance that I didn't even bother to fill my canteens before I started to look around. And there was a lot of water. Some of it was hidden in shady nooks and crannies in or near the canyon walls, but most of it was beneath the sun in the sky, reflecting the sky like turquoise windows into another world. I found the perfect pothole, not too big and not too little, but just right. And I stripped off my clothes and jumped in. It was cool and blue beneath the surface, and so quiet I could hear my heartbeat. A layer of mud carpeted the center of that hole, and the 3 feet or so of rock between the water and the rim were striped by the kind of bathtub ring-like marks you see when you look at our reservoirs. The water came up nearly to my neck, and as I stood there, thinking and soaking and sipping, I realized that I wasn't alone. My feet and my ankles were being battered by swarms of something like insects. And they were those weird desert crustaceans, these minute little creatures that can shrivel up and survive for years in the sun-baked dust that mud I was tromping on would soon become. At the first real rain, they resurrect like sea monkeys. And then they furiously feed, fight, and fornicate in the few years... In the few weeks they have before their world dries up and blows away. But I was well hydrated and waterlogged, so I decided that I would leave their little world, and I stepped off of the mud onto that rock that sloped up towards the walls like in a bowl, and I slid back towards the center, and I got a feeling right here. And I tried that again and again at different parts of the hole, and each time I slid right back towards the center before I could even touch the sides. I went all 23-year-old male and flung myself at the walls like a salmon trying to climb a waterfall. But the few times I made contact were brief, unproductive, and painful. So I retreated back to the center to catch my breath and to think. The sound of my breathing and the slap of water against stone, the only sounds in that desert wilderness. I pushed off with my arms extended in front of me like I was holding a kickboard, and my hands and my forearms slid out of the water and up that rock face. But as soon as I stopped kicking, I slipped back into the water. It took a few tries, and I had to retreat back to my mud mat from time to time to rest, but I figured out how to slowly scull my legs back and forth and keep my hands out until the rock in my body dried, and I slowly started to friction climb my way up that rock. But the higher I climbed, the steeper the wall got, and my feet, which were still in the water, came into contact with the rock. And I am a bipedal terrestrial creature, and as soon as my feet felt rock beneath them, I instinctively put some weight on them and slipped back into the water. And I did that again and again, fighting gravity and instinct, my hopes climbing with every inch, only to slip back into the water. And each time, it was like I was falling off of a mountain. I developed a technique. I'd slither out of the water like a reptile onto dry land and slowly ooze my way up that slippery rock. Resting between inch-long pitches, my arms slowly spreading as I climbed up that rock face, exposing as much of my body as possible to that smooth, slippery rock. I had my ear to the ground and my balls to the wall. I was hugging Mother Nature, Mother Earth, because I loved her and I was not ready to leave. I finally reached that hole's event horizon, the point where I was pretty sure I could climb my way out. But I had climbed so far, and I was so tired, and I couldn't risk slipping back into the water. So I kept climbing. And as I lay there sprawled against a rock like a lizard, I must have looked like a pictograph painted by the Anasazi, the ancient ones that used to flourish in that land. Their stony geometrical ruins still haunt that landscape, but the people disappeared more than 900 years ago, and no one knows for sure what happened to them, but they think it had something to do with water. I could feel the sun baking my back, and I could feel the sea monkeys bumping at my feet and my ankles, and I wondered if they were attacking me for ruining their world, or maybe even trying to pull me back in. So I pulled myself out, stood up, and looked back at that water hole, and it was as beautiful and as deadly as a spider web. And I turned around, and I looked out over a desert, and it stretched away as far as my eyes can see, and further. And last month, today, a month ago today, I was on top of Black Hill in Morro Bay, looking out over the Pacific Ocean, looking out over thousands of miles of water stretching all the way to Japan and beyond. And then I turned around and looked inland. And it was middle March. It was the Ides of March. It wasn't even St. Patrick's Day. And the hills were turning brown. And I got a feeling right here, a feeling we all should have gotten last year after 3 years of drought. Things are going to get tough. They are going to be taxing times. But I have faith because we are human beings and we are infinitely adaptable. And those of us that aren't will dry up and blow away. But not me, because I am California born and bred, a Westerner. You can't live much further west than Morro Bay. And I think we are going to make it. It might be hard. It'll be a challenge at first. But if we'll make it, and if won't be that hard as long as we all can remember to never take water for granted. Thank you.